Vice President Kamala Harris.
I get it. The cost of rent, groceries, and utilities is too high. So here's what we're going to do about it. We will lower housing costs by building more homes and crack down on landlords who are charging too much. We will lower your food and grocery bills by going after price gougers who are keeping the cost of everyday goods too high. You work hard for your paycheck. You should get to keep more of it. As president, I'll make that my priority.
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's October 14th, 2024. I am Sean Rossap. We are fresh off of a week that featured WWE's Bad Blood and then AEW's Wrestle Dream. A whole lot of news in between. We want to know what you guys want to talk about. Get your super chats in here at youtube.com/Fightful. Also, check out our interview with Mark Briscoe. Also, our interview with Orange Cassidy. We have another good one coming up this week. But if you're watching on X, on Twitch, really anywhere still, you can get your Humper Chats in as well at humperchats.com. That's HUMPER chats.com. I am moderating those myself this evening, so please bear with me. But while you're here, leave a thumbs up on the video, drop a fruit emoji in the live chat or the comment section, roll call. Let us know that you are here. By golly, this past weekend we had Grapsody, we had the Wrestle Dream post show where I uncorked a whole bunch. There you go. Whole bunch of exclusive news from FightfulSelect.com. We'll brag about that later on. But we had this entire show's rundown last Monday because it was taped ahead of time. And you might say, well, why do they tape it ahead of time? Well, a lot of this is making sense. WWE Raw has 2-hour shows through the end of the year. And you might go, well, why is that? Well, they've got a lot of European tours. They had to effectively start a new TV deal with Raw in October. But also, when you're doing these double tapings, Denise, you can't do 3-hour tapings and then tape them back to back. You'll have those people there forever. So we're getting some more streamlined shows. There were definitely some backstage segments that I could tell the live crowd did not see because we had no idea that they were happening. How do you feel watching a taped episode of WWE Raw?
So someone that I was talking to like last week had said, now, you know me, Sean, I don't look at spoilers. I don't look at any of that stuff, right? Because I like to be surprised. I like to go in and not know anything, right? Someone had told me that they saw like the spoilers and stuff and they were like, oh my God, it's going to be such an awful show. The show looks horrible, looks awful. And I was like, really? And they were like, do you want to know what they did? Do you want to know what they did? And I was like, no. And they were like, well, it was really bad. And I went into today's show going, man, today's show is probably going to suck, right? Because I went into it thinking whatever this person said to me. And so I went into the show. And even though we didn't get like a lot of really great like matches on the wrestling side, it really wasn't like that heavy. I thought it was a fine show because they progressed a lot of the stories. I liked a lot of the new things that we saw, like the different style of vignette that we saw for Dragon Lee, the sit down interview, or not, excuse me. I keep wanting to say it's an interview, even though it was a meeting with Bronson Reed and Adam Pearce. All of those little stuff. I thought it was a pretty good show. I went into it thinking I was going to hate it just because someone else told me that it was awful.
Yeah. And I rather enjoyed this show as well. There were some things I didn't like, obviously, but you mentioned the video packages. Now we're going to talk about the main event and the promo in totality at the end of this. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats, guys, because whatever you guys want to talk about via those are what we're going to spend the most time on. But you mentioned the vignettes, and I think that they have done great work with this. And somebody on Twitter had asked me, well, is this a product of the 2-hour Raw? And I'm like, well, no, because they had been doing this under the 3-hour Raws as well. But it goes such a long way to have these videos. And Denise, you've been on this show with me for years. I think it is way more productive to have videos like this instead of having a grown man walk out to the middle of the ring, interrupt a show with a microphone and go, "This is why I have a problem with another grown man. Everybody listen to it." No, show us the video. Show us them looking cool, doing cool stuff, being muscular, turning towards the camera, great shadow and lighting, cool music, wearing your cool gear and masks or your clothes, all make them look as cool as possible. And I thought they did that a lot today. You mentioned the Dragon Lee one. I've been begging for Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio to team up because this is the perfect like mentor and next up type of thing. And I was so happy to see that.
Yeah, that one was cool. I know you also mentioned like the Bron Breakker one too, because that's the one where he came out. I mean, he did come out, but the actual vignette portion of it all, I thought he looked really great in that. And just basically, I like when he brought up, you know, the family, not just his own family, but also Jay's family, I felt like they moved this story so much more forward in like this one vignette than they had, like, you know, I really like what they've been doing with Braun and Jey Uso, but they really did a lot in that one little quick vignette with this. Like, that was good. So again, a lot of stories really moved forward. I think a lot of the matches on the show had potential to be great, and a lot of them weren't great, but story-wise, it was good.
What do you think of Jey Uso sucking off his family's legacy, Denise, is what Bron Breakker said. And I quote, "sucking off your family's legacy."
I mean, damn, he wanted a piece of the pie too. Can you blame the guy? He doesn't want to be on the back burner.
Listen, did you see the Afa Jr. thing this past weekend?
No, what happened?
Oh my God, it was Bush League bullshit is what it was. Afa Jr., who played Manu in Legacy back in the day and got kicked out of the company and out of that angle, fought some, I believe, younger talent. I believe he's like 19, 20. And he was announced as from Hawaii. And the way that Afa would tell it, he's pretending to be Samoan. And Afa shot on him in the ring and stomped him in the head and slapped him. And they stopped. They called a stop to the match. And then he curses the guy out on the microphone saying, "Some trainer gave you bad advice. Wrestling
is." So the guy was pretending to be Samoan, or he was Samoan?
That's what Afa Jr. claimed. And he's like, "You can't come out here and fake being a Samoan." And I'm like, man, don't let him find Sami Zayn then. Like, whatever we do. Like, but also,
he's honorary. Okay. That's why there's honorary oos.
Sure. But I'm like looking at that and I go, Yokozuna waved a Japanese flag for years. I remember when I was a little kid and he spoke perfect English with no accent. I was like, what's happening here? And then Rikishi was the Sultan. What are we talking about? People in his actual family did this.
This is something that WWE did a whole lot of, especially back in the day, where they would just pretend like someone was of a certain race or ethnicity. It happened all the time, right? And I think maybe just now, like, things are, you know, you can't really do that. But I mean, I want to say that I can't say anything because I don't know whether or not this guy was Samoan or not.
Well, I mean, regardless, you have that conversation with the guy backstage. You don't beat the shit out of him when he doesn't know he's in a fight. But listen, somebody we both know reached out to somebody that we also both know and said, "It's weird that Manu would do that, because there's definitely a person that people think is a Samoan that is in the dynasty that is absolutely not. And we have just believed it for decades." So there you go. But yeah, that was wild. But sucking off his family's legacy. And if anything, this was closer to Bron Breakker taking his family's legacy by saying something absolutely wild on the microphone, like sucking off a family legacy. And yeah, I am looking for excuses to say that. Sue me. Sue me. Get your super chats in.
Is that going to be the new slogan of Fightful?
Yeah, yeah. Get your sucker chats in. And your humper chats in. We would greatly appreciate it. People calling him Manuer. But what do we got here? There was another one. Bronson Reed wants a match with Seth Rollins. And he told Adam Pearce, listen, you give me a match, there's no problems. I'm not going to raise hell. I'm not going to tear anything up. You can make this very easy. It's a match that people want to see. Very clearly, it would be a good match. I thought Bronson Reed was very good here in just making a nice case to Adam Pearce. Like, why would you not want to book this match? Are you dumb? It's a good match. And Adam Pearce, being a good GM later on, telling Seth Rollins, you've had 6 matches this year and you haven't been healthy for any of them. As it turns out, Denise, hastily booking Seth Rollins against Jinder Mahal in one of the coldest venues in America isn't great for your knee health and has long-lasting ramifications. But I loved everything that had to do with what we saw with Bronson Reed, Adam Pearce, and Seth Rollins.
All right, multiple thoughts here. First and foremost, I have not liked Adam Pearce as a general manager now for a really long time. I feel like it's been numerous times on this show where I have said, I didn't like that Adam Pearce did this. I didn't like that Adam Pearce did that. I didn't like when he tried making either Drew or CM Punk, I forget who, tried to make an apology. I didn't like when he got Bron Breakker on his roster and then decided to leave him out of the King of the Ring tournament. I haven't liked a lot of what he has done. And today was another example of just, here's my issue with today. Bronson Reed wanted a match. Seth Rollins said, I want the match too. And Adam Pearce, he was like, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. Overthinking it all. I know he was trying to like be looking out for Seth Rollins, but Seth Rollins was bad. Was right. He said, this is pro wrestling. People are going to get hurt. I felt like Adam Pearce was beating around the bush and they should have just made the match fast, just like that. We didn't need all the extra, well, let me think about it right now. I don't like any of that. Let's just get right to it. Let's get down to business. And I'm so glad that they did eventually make the match though, right? Like, we are going to get it, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
See, they went so long that I couldn't even remember if they actually did or didn't make the match. But as for the meeting portion though with Bronson and Pearce, oh, I loved that. And I loved it for the main reason being that, Sean, when's the last time we got a meeting that wasn't in the GM's locker room? No, in his little office.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time we got that. When this started, for a second, I thought, what the hell? Is Adam Pearce about to do an interview? Why is Adam Pearce doing the interview? Because that's how it was set like. And then when he said it was a meeting, I'm like, okay, great. That's awesome. We haven't seen anything like that. And I love this because I really felt like we got to see a lot of Bronson Reed's personality. Because so far, all we know from Bronson Reed is he can hit a killer tsunami. He's a big boy. We know all of that. Okay, cool. Now we kind of got to hear him talk a little bit more in more of a conversational setting. We got to see him, you know, do a little smirk here and there, and that kind of just added to him. So I feel like I'm really intrigued by the Seth Rollins Bronson Reed story. I have been, and I like how both guys just want to fight each other for different reasons, but they want to fight each other.
I like what you said about Adam Pearce doing this in a different setting. This is something that I've constantly said, like, take it out of the standard settings that we normally see. That was one of my favorite parts about the Attitude Era, was you would see different backgrounds and settings. It's something I think AEW needs to lean on. It feels like every match we see gets set up in front of the same TV backstage. And I'm like, switch that up. Like,
I don't think we can tell the difference in any of them. If you were to say which Raw was this, which city was that, I have no idea. They're all the same.
Exactly. Like, if I watch Dynamite, I don't know if a match was set up. Like, you could take the shot and it could be all of them. And it could have been 4 or 5 months ago for all I know. I want them to vary it up a little bit. We also had an American Made video. This was fun. These are very useful. It's a way to get people on the show without getting them on the show. Also, we saw the Wyatt like thing sort of interrupt the Miz, the glitch. And I also like that the Wyatts are there in absence, so to speak. They're appearing without appearing, because if you do too much of that, it will probably get old very quick. So I like that they're making the Wyatts attractions. I think that's a good element to go to. What do you think of the American Made video and the continued integration of the Wyatts? Is it still doing it for you?
Right. The video was good. And going into this, so, I mean, God, where do I begin? Because I kind of want to mix this in with the actual I thought we were going to get the Wyatts come out during that R-Truth Miz match. When the Final Testament came out, I thought, oh, maybe we're going to get Wyatt Six involved here. And that's where, you know, you saw the little glitch on the screen. So I personally thought that it was going to happen there. And here's the thing, like for me, again, the R-Truth Miz story isn't necessarily rocking my boat. I know that I haven't been a big fan of the Final Testament. I don't know if we're going to get like a final, if the Final Testament is going to be brought in with the stuff with the Wyatt Six, because I don't know if they're going to go after the Miz or not. I assume that they are. So for me, I just, look, I know you said it kind of gets a little old too fast doing all of this little glitch stuff. I want to see more of the Wyatt Six present, actually there on the show. I don't want to just see these sure. little glitches and videos, because after a while, that doesn't do anything for me. Like, it really doesn't. I want to see them on the show because I just feel like we're constantly waiting for them to show up. They show up. It's a very, very slow walk to the ring. It's a stare. It's the lights off. It doesn't. If I'm waiting so long for you to come out on the show, I'm expecting it to be high impact when you actually come to the show. So I think there's some things that could be tweaked a little bit just to feel a little bit more new, because after a while, the glitch things, oh, the Wyatt Six, the glitch. Okay, cool. Now what? That's how I feel.
If you're anti-glitch like Denise and you want something high impact, check out our friends at NordVPN.com/Fightful. Right now, get 4 extra months and a 30-day money-back guarantee with NordVPN.com/Fightful. There are a lot of questions right now. Where will this pay-per-view air? Where will this library be? When you get NordVPN.com/Fightful, you can change your virtual location to anywhere on the planet, and it basically tricks your ISP into thinking you are in that place, and you have an access to a lot more services at much more affordable prices with NordVPN than you would wherever you are. It provides you a much more versatile array of content that way. Or if you're traveling, as let's be real, wrestling is much more global these days with WWE going overseas all the time. You've got Wrestle Dynasty in January and Wrestle Kingdom as well. So AEW is doing some international stuff as well. You can watch all your favorites from home while you're on the road and protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi, which I cannot tell you how important that is. It's available for all your devices. They've got a lot of other options, including a password manager, a file encryption tool. And if you're saying, by God, Sean, I'm old, I don't know how to work this contraption, they got 24/7 tech support, so they will help you out. It doesn't matter where you are. They will let you know, here's what you do, here's how you make it work with the fastest VPN on the planet. And as always, get a 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/Fightful. They have saved me such an insane amount of money over the last 2 or so years. Truly love them.
Hey, if I can figure out how to use Nord, anybody can figure out how to use Nord. I got Nord desktop and phone.
I've mentioned this in the past. Like, Denise has told me features that I use now for Nord. Like, when I'm watching football games, especially like when I'm coming back from a Bengals game and I've got my phone set up and all that stuff, I can just switch while I'm riding in the car on the way home and watch multiple games. It's so much better than just the standard.
Dude, I'm telling you, my husband doesn't pay for the freaking Sunday ticket. We live in LA. He does not miss one singles Jets game. And there you go. It doesn't have the Sunday ticket, but it made it work.
Sorry to hear that. Very sorry to hear that. How are they doing right now? Let's see. Oh, it's tied up in the third quarter.
Yeah, so.
There we go.
Anyways, but yeah.
Save some money. Women's tag team title match. This was one of the best women's tag team title matches I've seen on Raw or SmackDown, period. And they had to overcome a commercial like a minute and a half into the match. Then they come back and we get about 5 or 6 minutes of really, really good action, I thought. We had the hot tag for damage control. We had a situation where Io pushes Kyrie all the way up in the air to hit her insane elbow, which, beautiful spot. Then Kyrie gets caught in a slinging powerbomb that both Jade and Bianca do. And we had Lash and Jakara ringside that cost damage control the match. Now, I like this because they've been getting some main roster screen time of late, which I think is important when vying for these tag team titles. you really put them in the mind's eye of people. There was a beautiful moonsault as well, but I thought this worked out really good. I enjoyed the hell out of this match. I don't know what I was expecting here, but I kind of figured, oh, man, it'll be 5 minutes with a commercial. I thought they killed it. I thought that they did as much as they could with the time they could, and everybody ended up looking better as a result of it.
I think what this also tells me, though, the fact that they had Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson on not only on SmackDown, but also here today on Raw. Well, first of all, we know that this story is going to continue between them, right? But here's the thing. It also tells me that they know nobody is really interested in some of the other tag teams that they have available right now on the roster. And that's not necessarily like a good thing. Like the fact that we're having to sort of rely on a team from NXT to go up against your champions, I feel like you kind of have to like build up some other teams on the main roster as well. Like it's a great opportunity for Jakara and for Lash Legend. But when you think about what they've done on NXT, it hasn't been that much. It really hasn't been. Like they can still do so much more, and I'm sure they still are. But it kind of makes me feel like there's not really that much hope for some of the other teams on the show right now. If there's no big emphasis or big storyline or anything really going on with them, like it's pretty much dry for a lot of the other current teams on the main roster. And I feel like they might see that, because then they're out there, you know, choosing to highlight a team that is not even on the main roster. So it's interesting. It makes me feel like even though there's a lot of teams right now, it still feels like a slim division, only because only certain teams have the interest, the overall general interest from the crowd. And truthfully, like I would say that that team is the Io Sky and Kairi Sane that people actually care about. No, nobody is into the PFC right now. Nobody's into, you know, what they were doing with Kaden and Katana. What about Alba and Isla? It feels like a lot of it on that end has sort of dried up.
It's paint by numbers with Pure Fusion Collective and the other teams. It's like, give us a reason. Right. Give us some sort of story behind them. And I don't mean women going and partying at a club or something like that in a vignette. Like, give me a reason why we should care about these people outside of what we see in the 5 minute matches that they're given. At least at the title level, they're putting more emphasis on that, and I'm happy. I just want to see the undercard also promoted accordingly, because this is a big step, having three teams involved, and I think all of them looked good in this. But I do want to see them put some more juice into that. And Will Chisholm says, love to run in with Lash and Jakara. We might get Io and Kairi on NXT. Love that Lash and Miss Jackson care about the women's tag titles. Yes, that right now, that is the what I love it when there are talent that recognize this and jump headfirst into it. That is their highest chance of success immediately, right now. You become a tag team in a division where there aren't many. And look at the success they're already finding. They're on SmackDown, they're on Raw, they're on NXT, all over the place.
Yeah, no, it's a really great opportunity for them to be doing that. And Lash Legend had gotten over for a while on NXT, but then they kind of put a big pause on that, and we hadn't seen much. So now it's like this almost feels like something totally brand new for them, because again, they put a big pause on Lash Legend when she started to get over for a while. Like people were really interested in some of Lash Legend's work, and they didn't really continue with that. But it's hard on NXT because there's a lot of women there, and there's a lot of women that are, you know, climbing up those ranks a lot faster. And so, you know, sometimes you get the spotlight on you for a bit, and sometimes it lasts a little longer. And you notice that on NXT. You really got to fight for your spot.
Guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. I would greatly appreciate it. A reminder, this past week we had this entire rundown on FightfulSelect.com. We had a bunch of news on FightfulSelect.com. Just $5 a month or $54 a year. We had a Motor City Machine Guns update. We told you they were going to be on the road within a couple weeks. Well, they were announced for next week. Jimmy Jacobs leaving AEW. We had a big story on Bryan Danielson and his retirement and the road to get him there. We had news on the Raw debut on Netflix. We spoke to Mark Briscoe and Orange Cassidy. We had an MJF update ahead of his return. In the Discord, we had the scoops of Adam Cole and MJF returning, as well as Bobby Lashley not being at Wrestle Dream. just a ton of stuff over at FightfulSelect.com. Go over there, check it out at least once. And if you don't like it, by God, don't come back. But just try it one time. How many times have you been told that in your life? Up next, we had Balor and Priest, or actually Balor and JD backstage. And JD wants, or sorry, Balor wants a rematch against Damian Priest. And thankfully, Adam Pearce is like, no, it's time for you to move on. You've had tag titles that you don't defend. Denise, they have defended those titles one time on TV since they won them in June.
Sean, two things. One, I forgot they were champions. Two, they need to get the belts off of the Judgment Day. I'm done with those tag team titles being. How long has Finn Balor been holding a tag team championship gold in the last like 2 years? Because I feel like it's been 2 years at this point. It's been a long time, Sean. Look at the numbers. I don't know what the numbers are.
Denise, if people go back and watch our shows from March or April when they finally talked about splitting the tag titles, and I said, I don't think it'll mean anything. At least when you put the tag titles together, it's a golden ticket for people to show up on other brands. Now they just don't give a damn about the brand split. And USA Network doesn't either. Why would they care for the next 3 months, right? But they don't give a damn about the brand split to the point to where I don't even bother being arsed about it these days. And
that
at least
with your big thing.
It did. Now, at least with the crown jewel thing, there's a little bit of sensibility there since champion versus champion. But Finn Balor, like, okay, so what's happened since WrestleMania? Awesome Truth had a horrible run, which, again, I'll say this, happy for them winning the tag titles. They could have lost them on Raw and I'd have been fine. And then Judgment Day wins and they do not defend them. Not only do they not defend them, they lost to Damian Priest and Jey Uso in a tag team match. They lost to Sami Zayn and Jey Uso in a tag team match. So they have lost more tag team matches than they have televised title defenses since June. We are in October, and they are starting a tournament of which I presume, Denise, presume we will get what matches up until they have to defend them in November. So we will talk about them going from June to November with one title defense.
Well, the bright side in all of this, though, is we're getting new tag team champions, right?
We better.
I really hope we do, Sean, because I'm done. I'm so done with the Judgment Day holding those tag team titles. I mean, what can you say when they're, you said it all, they haven't defended them. You forget they're even champions. It has put a huge, huge pause on the men's tag team division. And damn, I mean, thankfully, I mean, we're going to talk about the War Raiders in a second, yes, but you do have teams that can start to add a little life there in that tag team division. And that tournament, they announced two matches and I'm like, all right, cool. A nice little start to this tournament. I don't know how many teams they have or how many matches they're going to do, but the two first matches that they announced look fine to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So also Liv introduces Raquel and Carlito
is
smitten.
He fell in love, Sean. His eyes bulged out of his freaking head.
That will at least be cute to watch, fun to watch, I think.
I'm telling you, these love stories, they just love to do them.
Denise, I don't know if you saw over the weekend, but Chelsea Green quoted a tweet where Wrestle Purist had recapped a lot of the ideas that she had pitched that people buried her for like 3 years ago when she was outside of WWE. And some of them are bad, like a sexy nun character. Like that's like a Halloween costume. There was a Daisy Duke character, which I know was actually for Steve Macklin and Wesley Blake. But there was one that sticks out, Denise. Dominic Mysterio's girlfriend was an angle that she pitched in 2021.
No.
And there were. Yeah. And also her doing a fake accent and being a triconic with.
What's a triconic?
Billy. Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Kay and Peyton Royce.
Oh, okay. I was like, what the hell is a triconic?
Because she did live in Australia for a little bit. I don't know if you knew that, but
that would have been really cute, actually, had they done that. Her and Billy. Billy was really funny, so that would have been something. But Dominic's girl, wow, Chelsea saw the future.
And I remember a lot of times people were like kind of burying her for it. And I was like, no, what happened was she waited outside Vince's office for week after week after week. And then when she got in there, she's like, here are 30 ideas. One of them will be good, I promise you.
Well, you know what? Hey, shit happened, but you know what? She's back. She's killing it. And now everything's all okay. All's well that ends well.
Rambling Roses says, Sean, nice Bengals Grateful Dead hoodie. Yeah, my dude's at Homage. Love it. Wish they would send me free stuff. That would be very handy. Would appreciate
Damn, Sean,
that.
You just want free stuff.
I do. I love free stuff. Listen, I'm trying to pay off a house. We get the return.
That's why you have to, if you're smart, Sean, and with all your followers, you should get free stuff and get paid.
Both. I do get both.
Okay. See, there you go. That's what I'm saying. You got to get paid and free stuff.
I will say one of our sponsors effectively has paid my mortgage for the last couple of years.
See, there you go. It's the way
and
you
that
do
was.
It.
That was at their urging. They were like, specifically, like, we want you to have a cut of this, which was very generous of them. And I appreciate that. The War Raiders are back. Eric and Ivar. Denise, I had an interview with Mark Briscoe last week, and I told a story that Eric and Ivar told me. I don't know. Did I mention this on the air last week at all?
I don't think so.
So this was great. I wish the audio would have got caught, but it messed up. It was last year. And I asked Eric and Ivar their memories of Mark or their memories of Jay Briscoe. And I told Mark, I was like, so I heard a story about you and your brother slugging it out. And this smile got on his face because you could tell that like 1,000 stories were going through his mind. But Ivar told me that one time he hurt his ankle and didn't know how to tape it. And Mark and Jay went up and they're like, oh, this is how you tape it. And they were arguing over how to do it. And they just start fighting each other. Like they just
physically?
They start slugging it out. And next thing Ivar knows, he's watching these two guys fight and he's got like 6 inches of ankle tape on from where they had been like, no, dumbass, this is how you do it.
Oh my God. They probably stopped like his blood circulating from so much tape.
I've heard of them having fist fights in hotel hallways where the whole roster went out there. It's like, what's going on? And by the time they got out there, they're hugging each other. Mark was like, yeah, we fought at TGI Fridays, like all kinds of places.
Like, aww, hey, they're brothers, you know,
love like, that's what it, you love do. It was so much fun. Like you could tell that those were good times for him.
Yeah.
So it was very cool to hear. But the War Raiders are back. And they got the win over Alpha Academy. I'll just say this. First off, thrilled that they're back. And I'm telling you guys, enjoy the time we have with the War Raiders, because the fact that they are still able to wrestle now after some of the injuries that they've overcome is very special and unique. And we've seen what they're both capable of. And now I think we're really going to get the opportunity to see what WWE signed years ago without any restrictions of a dumb gimmick or a lame name or Vince McMahon being an idiot. We're going to get that opportunity. And also, my second observation is, boy, they really cut the knees out from under Otis. He should have been a bigger deal after the Gable thing, and they screwed him over. But War Raiders win in this tag team tournament match.
Yeah, it was funny because, like, you see that you obviously knew this was going to be a squash match. But here's the problem, though. You could believe that they could squash Akira Tozawa. You can't buy too much that they can squash Otis because Otis is such a big guy. So it felt like they kept Otis out for the majority of this match and just focused on Tozawa, beat his ass, and got the win. But it felt weird because Otis was never really in the match. Like, he was in it for like a hot second and was quickly taken out. So it kind of felt weird that this was the team that was essentially in the squash for the War Raiders, because again, you can buy that they can squash Tozawa, but you can't really buy that they can squash Otis. So that was a little bit like weird, but hey, it is what it is, man. I feel bad, but you know, Otis was really over with Chad Gable and when he was gonna turn on him, or rather like finally stand up for himself. And then it happened and that was it. Moving on, Chad Gable's on to other things and Otis is kind of stuck in the exact same thing. I don't know. I think they need to, if you want to see Otis thrive, you probably have to break him up from Akira Tozawa. And then where does that leave Akira Tozawa? I don't know. But they might have to start to reshake things up for Otis in terms of, you know, finding him some other direction to go on the show. But yeah, War Raiders looks great. Can't wait to see them back. So, by the way, remember when we had Ivar on NXT for a bit and he never got to be in the match because he got injured and all of that? Man, I hope that maybe, just maybe, we do get him in that Obafemi match, because they had that was what we were supposed to see. So, hey, I would like to just throw that out there as a reminder to people.
Obafemi is going to be a guy for a very long time. He's so good. Terry Allen Jr. says war is the theme that CFOs created for War Raiders in 2018 and used again today. Since they disbanded, is cash sent at them? Yes, I believe it is. I mean, even if you break up, you still get your royalties. And I wish they would bring back a lot of CFO's themes. I wish they would just do better overall, because music in wrestling is very important, very important. And it's just, it's so uninspired in WWE right now.
I think sometimes we forget how important music is and entrances and all of that, because we're so used to watching pro wrestling. It's just like we don't even put a second thought to it sometimes. But I took my brother to Bad Blood this past at the show, and he's not a wrestling fan, Sean. Like, he doesn't know anything about wrestling, right? And this is how he determined which wrestlers he was going to care about or not. It was all based on their entrance. Everything. He was like, oh, I like that guy's entrance. Like, I'm interested to see what he's going to do because I liked his entrance. He loved Drew's entrance, Damian's entrance, Cody's entrance, and Finn's entrance. Those were the entrances he loved the most. And so that made him want to care for those guys, like, based off of their songs and all of that. That was like the entry point.
20 plus years ago, bands were throwing themselves at WWE. We did the Forcible Entry review on your channel, Denise, and it was full of great music, and you couldn't see hardly any of those bands or bands at that level getting their music licensed these days, when WWE makes an incredible amount of money more. Like, listen, come to some licensing agreement where you can rebroadcast or something like that. I don't know how it all works, but Alter Bridge has a significantly increased following, not just because they make good music, but because Edge used that as his theme.
Like, bro, I went and bought myself a Creed CD, a Saliva CD. I discovered all these bands because of WWE. Like, it's true. Like, you discover shit, like, based off of that. It's been a long time since I have followed an artist because I heard of them from WWE. Like, a long time. Before, I used to be, like, almost all of them.
Yeah.
Now, not so much.
We got the Cody Gunther promo. Cody says that Gunther likes or sees weakness in him where he actually sees strength. Cody shares his feelings about St. Louis and or wherever the hell they are. Where are
St. Louis? St. Louis. That was the We Want Cody.
Where We Want Cody first started. They shake hands and listen. There wasn't a lot to this. I'm just hyped for it. I'm just excited.
So one of the big talking points after this, Sean, maybe you can shed some Fightful.
Was Cody sucking off his family's legacy?
No. Was Cody alluding to Brock Lesnar when he said that he slayed the beast? And if so, why was the last thing he like punctuated in that promo? Does it mean anything or should we just gloss over?
I don't think so. Listen, I feel comfortable saying this now, but around WrestleMania, there was someone in wrestling media who was very close to reporting, oh, Brock Lesnar's coming back. It's this weekend at Mania. They set up a lot of stuff for it. And I had gotten word about that and asked some people very high up in WWE. And not only were they ready to talk about it, they met with me. It was like the cigarette in the dark that you see lit up in the distance. And they clearly didn't want a text message chain of this, but they're like, listen, not only did we remove him from the game at extreme cost financially to us, like he had like steakhouse dinners planned for Rumble weekend that WWE is like, nah, we'll pay for it. Just get the hell out of town. Like, don't come to town, whatever it was. They canceled Gunther plans. He was not to be referenced on TV, anything like that. This is the most that we've got in that sense. So like up until really Triple H was asked about him, he was persona non grata in that sense. And I would be shocked personally, and this isn't for aggregation accounts to put out there, but I would be shocked if, and somebody says he's in the My Rise. Listen, bro, me and Denise legitimately were at an event where he was in the game. And then when the game came out 2 months later, was stripped from the game by and large outside of the My Rise stuff. I understand the My Rise thing. They issued a whole statement about it saying that due to some historical elements, they left him in that portion. They went to great cost to keep him out of that game and get it released on time. But I would be shocked if he was involved until lawsuit related stuff gets squared away, which could be quite a while, if ever, Denise.
Yeah, I wonder then why they had Cody say that, because now I feel like that's in a lot of people's minds and they're going to be like, oh, is he coming back? Is he coming back? Like, where is he coming back? Crown Jewel? Like, what are we doing? I feel like it might have left an impression in a lot of people's minds that it can happen.
Soon. And these promos are scripted. So, I mean, maybe something has changed. I'll certainly ask about it, but I can tell you guys that as of WrestleMania week, that's definitely where they were on it. And nothing has really went forward with the lawsuit since then. Like, we, in fact, it's paused because of the federal investigation. But R-Truth defeated The Miz very quickly, and I'm like, great, feud's over.
Is it?
Should be.
But I don't think instead, it is.
I want to say, Karrion Kross was very funny. He's like, oh, good job, fist bump, yeah. And then he frowns afterwards, and he's like, get him, guys. And Miz attacks him. Listen, the most entertaining part about the Miz and R-Truth feud to me is Karrion Kross. Like, I enjoy his work. I like him as a performer. I'm glad that he's getting these opportunities. But, yeah.
Bro, ain't nothing working for me in this story. That's what I was hoping, that the Wyatt Six would come out. I would like for them to feud with the Final Testament. I think it could do something for both teams. We'll see if they do or if they don't. But why not put up the two big scary stables up against each other and see who has dominance over WWE? I don't know. Some shenanigans like that could play out. So I was hoping that that would be the light at the end of the tunnel for this match, but it seems like they're still waiting to, like, you know, really run with it. But they did do the little glitch, though, during the match.
No glitch in our betting odds this past week with BetOnline.ag, my friends. A lot of times you go, wait, you all can bet on wrestling? Yeah, not just wrestling, UFC, MLB, soccer, tennis, NBA, WNBA, anything. They've got a bunch of games. They're trusted by millions. They got a VIP rewards program, and they give us all of our pro wrestling odds. And Fightful's picks, 100% on WrestleDream. On our Discord, including Takeshita, who was not the favorite to win. So you could have, that was our first lock underdog bet pick since I think March or April, because BetOnline's odds have been right on the money. And it wasn't just one, it was two, because we hit you with the Bryan Danielson retiring odd, which was a massive underdog. Him wrapping up his career there. Was one you could have made a lot of money on as well. At one point, I think we had a third one as well. It was MJF being the first to appear, because they didn't have, will this person return? They had who was first to appear, and they mentioned Lashley. Well, before the show, FightfulSelect.com reported Lashley ain't there. So put your money on MJF. And I was happy to see that many of you did. Check out BetOnline.ag. They have the fastest payouts, highest credit card acceptance in a safe and secure environment. You can go there, check out all that stuff. But this is where we have gotten our betting odds for a long time. We're likely to step more into the MMA betting odds space as well, guys. So make sure you keep your eye on that. But BetOnline.ag, a wonderful partner for us. Arditch says, should have been Cruising Wild, not Rey and Dragon. Listen, I disagree. I think that Rey and Dragon Lee are a team that need to be featured. Rey Mysterio is still a marquee name, no matter which way you slice it. Denise, we go to events all the time, and I remember one specifically, San Antonio, Texas, and it was Keldon Johnson, former Kentucky Wildcat, who was doing, he came by the Boys and Girls Club, if you remember. And was doing a lot of stuff. Of course, you don't remember. But he is.
I don't even think I was there.
He was, yeah, you were there. 24, 25 years old. And we were like, who's your favorite wrestler growing up? He's like, Rey Mysterio was my favorite wrestler growing up. You see a lot of that these days. And he is mainstream. I think it's important to have a tag team wrestler that is a little more mainstream. So
I was cool with definitely that. Not there, by the way, in San Antonio, because I haven't gone this year. I only went to San Antonio once. I've only been to San Antonio twice.
Maybe not this year, maybe last year. It was at the Boys and Girls Club where they had the weightlifting stuff there. And I swear you were there.
I don't know, Sean.
Who gives a
confusing
shit?
Confusing me with someone else.
Let's talk about Bron Breakker and Kofi Kingston. Bron Breakker beat Kofi Kingston. And then beat him down a little bit after the match. Xavier Woods makes the save. He gets attacked as well. This is to further the Xavier and Kofi story, which makes me, you know, I'm glad that that's going on. A lot of hinting, people reporting possibly Big E integration. I'm working on finding out more about that. But Bron Breakker, you know, is getting the win here. And this is a unique and good situation where you have a good match. Bron Breakker gets over more because he's doing what he's doing. Xavier and Kofi get over more. We found out in the vignette that Bron Breakker attacked Jay because after he showed Jay all that respect, Jay didn't bother saying anything nice to him. So I thought that this entire night did an awful lot to further the storylines of many people involved in this. They threaded this very nicely.
Yeah, they did. That was the big part of it. And here's the thing, though. I do think that this match was sort of hurt by the commercial because a lot of the main stuff that affected the impact of the finish occurred during the commercial. Because before we went on commercial, it was like, oh, Bron Breakker and Kofi, like, it's starting to, like, get really exciting, right? Like, it was a pretty good start to the match. And then commercial, we come back, Kofi Kingston's, like, barely able to get up. And I'm like, what happened? Fill us in. What happened here? And so I kind of felt like it was sunshine and rainbows before the commercial, and we came back to dark clouds by the time we came back by the end of the commercial break. So I kind of felt like a really big disconnection in this particular matchup. And again, it's, you know, the 2 hour Raw format, so it's going to be a little bit different, but this is a match that I think that if it was a 3 hour Raw, we would have been talking about this being like a hell of a great match. But I do think that there was I think it could have been a million times better, but the timing, the commercial and all of that kind of felt like it took a little bit of the light away from this match. I think they could have had a better match.
Vin says, I hope they don't have Woods go heel. New Day never breaking up would been greatest for their legacy. I'd have New Day go heel together, if anything. Vin, I completely agree with you. I think this should be a catalyst for them to regain the early edge that we saw them have. But when they were heels 10 years ago, they got so over that they had to turn the guy's baby face. But we haven't seen them as heels in a decade. And I think it's time to see that. I think it's time to see them with a little bit of edge, see them switch things up, because what's old is new, because they did have their initial run, but this is a completely different WWE. It's a completely different Xavier, who has won King of the Ring since then. Kofi, who has won the world title at WrestleMania since then. And right now, they don't have Big E.
No, and I feel like at some point he does have to come in, especially once like the actual turn happens. Now, I'm wondering, do you think it'll happen next week? Because next week, Kofi and Xavier are part of that tag team tournament that they're doing. So they do have a match. So I'm wondering if, because they're going up against, I think it's AOP in their particular matchup. So I feel like it would hurt AOP to lose in this scenario, because they haven't had much, like they've had victories, right? But it's not like they're a big focus. And so I feel like Kofi and Xavier are going to somehow clash, and that's going to allow AOP to get this victory.
I hope so, because that would further that story. That would definitely further that story. And so, like, as you mentioned, we got Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus American Made next week. Then we got New Day, Authors of Pain. I legitimately don't know who is going to win, Rey and Dragon Lee versus American Made.
I think it's going to be American Made.
I mean, I would like to see Rey and Dragon Lee like sort of get their kickoff there. And I feel like you could start a feud with a team with American Made if they get cost there. But just that graphic makes me be like, all right, the tag team division's looking okay. We should defend the titles more often.
It might actually be Rey and Dragon Lee. And here's why, because I'm thinking, okay, if I'm thinking AOP is winning on one side, what would make for the better match for AOP? I'm thinking AOP is probably going to want to, they're going to want to tell the story of like AOP squashing Rey and Dragon Lee like bugs. So that's probably what they're going to end up doing. Because I'm thinking of what they've already conditioned us to get used to.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I like about this. I don't know what to expect in this situation, and I very much like that.
Here's the thing. If I wanted to be like legitimately surprised, and if they wanted to put a smile on my face, it would be American Made all the way, because I want to see Brutus and Julius and them and kick ass in the tag team division. It would be them, or if it would be Rey and Dragon Lee. Those are the two best options.
Terry Allen says, Miz betrayed R-Truth after Survivor Series 2012. Man, that is great recall right there. That is great recall, my friend. Jimmy and Jey Uso. Poppy says, you think that Jimmy or the Bloodline cost the match? So let's talk. I don't know what you mean by that one specifically.
So will they cost the match between Jey and Bron Breakker? Because, you know, we're getting the Jey and Bron Breakker match. So there's a possibility that the new Bloodline could cost Jey the match. And who knows?
Fair.
We can.
Yes, I do think match. I do think the new Bloodline will. I think. Yes.
Jimmy, but the Bloodline. Yes.
This was very clearly done without the crowd seeing it. And it was very funny, because you could even hear Joe Tessitore's call was definitely post-production when they came back from the break of this. But we see Jimmy waiting in Jay's locker room, and then we see Jey saying, no, I'm not doing it. I like that. I like that it was a bit ominous. I like that we're playing into this. It's a story that is obviously got lots to it. But I saw somebody say, why wouldn't Jey just fight him? I'm like, come on, they're brothers. They're like, you have a fight with your brother at WrestleMania. Next time you see him, you might give him the benefit of the doubt there. Mike.
I was waiting for Jay to go talk to the hands because he was like, no, no.
My God.
I actually love the way he answered that because, okay, I mean, I don't know about you, Sean, but have you ever been so mad at somebody when they tried to talk to you, you were just like, no. I got Jay's vibe there. I love that. So him just dead on saying, no, don't talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. None of that. That was great. So I thought I was really interested in that. And he shouldn't. Look at all the things Jimmy did to him. How many times didn't Jimmy interfere? I feel like Jimmy interfered in his matches like 100 times. So why should Jay just forgive him like that? It even hurts worse to be betrayed by your own brother. Like, this isn't just a friend. This isn't even a, like, this is not even a cousin. This is your own brother who betrayed you. So yeah, of course I'm going to be pissed and it's going to take a little longer for me to move on from it. So yeah, I like the way that he didn't even want to talk to him.
Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. We are at the main event segment and match. Rhea Ripley had called out Raquel Rodriguez at the start of the show, but instead Tiffany Stratton came out, said she had a message from Nia Jax, but the distraction let Liv Morgan and Raquel attack both of them and set up a tag team match for later in the night. So I love this. Tiffany Stratton showed up because Nia basically intimidated her into doing so. But again, they threaded an awful lot of people in and out here. They brought in Raquel. How about this one for a stat? The last tag team match that Raquel had on TV, she teamed with Liv Morgan and they lost the tag team titles to Chelsea and Sonya. So naturally, of course, they're going to team up again. But we saw Raquel being introduced to Judgment Day. Carlito has the little crush. Liv almost gets cashed in on in this match. We'll go over the highlights of it. There was a big power bomb and a Tiffany moonsault, but Nia broke up the Riptide outside and ends this match and then attacks Liv Morgan. And you know, this is heel on heel violence, but that's her crown jewel opponent. So she's trying to soften her up. Then Tiffany's like, oh shit, son, I got this briefcase. I'm going to cash it in. And then Dominic makes the save. So Dominic continues to have a hand in every single women's title situation here. I thought this did, even though I don't like the non-finish, here I didn't mind it as much. One, because this show is 2 hours. And two, because this threaded and tied in an awful lot of things and we almost got a cash in. I thought they executed this pretty well, Denise.
So here's the thing. Oh my gosh, there's two things I want to say. One, in terms of the cash-in, I thought, oh my God, are they really going to end the show like this? Because I thought the show's going to end with a bang, right? And I thought, what a way to wrap things up if suddenly Tiffany were to cash in on Liv Morgan. It felt like a great opportunity. And here's the thing. I forgot about Dominic Mysterio. That whole time, I wasn't even thinking about Dominic. So when Dominic came out, I was like, oh, okay, really great because you successfully sucked me into this thinking this was going to happen here because it felt like a clear-cut moment, especially with Nia Jax being like, go right now. Like, this is your chance. And I'm like, yeah, Tiffany, this is your chance. And then the other thing that I want to say about this is there's a big, big piece of me that really kind of secretly wants Tiffany Stratton and Rhea Ripley to become that odd couple best friends. I know it sounds far-fetched, but damn it, do I want to see it. They are so opposite of each other that it
could not be better. Want to see them dress like one another.
Anything. I just really, they're so different. I want to see them kind of be friends. I do. I want to see it.
Yeah, overall, I enjoyed this Raw. I mean, again, as we reported on FightfulSelect.com last week, there were people in the company that had told us they would go through some growing pains, but 2 hours wasn't foreign to them because they do SmackDown. But there were some women that were not thrilled with the way that things were booked last week. I got to think that this week, it's at least a little bit better.
What did we got Vin this match, the other match. So we had two women's matches today. Am I missing one?
Two women's matches. We had Ivy Nile in a vignette as well. We had Nia Jax coming out. So you were building a match, building a feud as well. A lot of stuff I like there. And also Rhea Ripley had encouraged Damian Priest while backstage to kind of move on from Judgment Day. Vin says, credit to USRS and Denise and others like Mike Johnson. One of your peers dropped the ball again this weekend with The Rock denying his report. He set the bar high. Sad to see others run with false narratives to keep up. Listen, I don't want to dunk on anybody else. I'll just say we try to do our best, and I got an awful lot of respect for everybody that does this with you know, and tries to check on what they can, but nobody bats 1,000. Nobody bats 1,000. Shit happens. And with The Rock, you definitely never know. I mean, he is if Jeff Jarrett had a really successful movie career. I'll say that. He's still a bit of a carny.
Successful career?
Jeff Jarrett. He's still that level of carny.
Did you ever watch Spring Breakers? Spring Blockers?
Sure did.
Spring Breakers?
He was great. Jeff Jarrett was great in Spring Breakers.
Like, come on. Like, you perform with Selena Gomez. Like, what?
There you go. Guys, please leave a thumbs up. Denise, tell the people where they can find you.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. That's my main place to be. And all the social media, so you guys already know. And if you don't, your ass better call somebody. Sorry, it was there. I had to take it.
God, I appreciate.
I heard myself saying it in my head.
SMH. I appreciate you guys so much. Again, FightfulSelect.com. I'll be over there in the Ask SRS Discord tonight. Until next time, we're out.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.